I'm Jillian Engelbrecht, and this is Museum Learning. Welcome to the first episode of Museum Learning, a podcast for educators looking to learn how to incorporate museum learning into their classes. What is museum learning? A lot of you might be asking that question and wondering how it might be applicable to your classroom instruction and your students' learning. Museum learning is using museums, artifacts, content experts, and museum designs or structures to enhance student learning. There are a lot of ways this can be accomplished in classrooms, and hopefully this podcast will inspire you to find the best fit for your own teaching and learning context. Now, you might be asking yourself, why should I go through all the bother of incorporating museum learning into my instruction? My students are already learning and meeting their benchmarks. And while we certainly hope your students are already doing well in your classes, the reality is that museum learning can provide some important benefits for students, as well as can help students who might sometimes slip through the cracks. Let's take a look and see what the research says to support museum learning. Boog et al. Conducted a study in 2009 that indicated museum learning can benefit students with disabilities. They argue that museums promote higher-order thinking in ways textbooks and lectures do not. Museums, particularly virtual museums, which were under investigation in their study, were shown to offer multiple means of engagement and expression to allow for increased individualization of instruction. Lucina and Watson's 2003 study lends support to the idea that using museums in the classroom increases student engagement, this time through a study of elementary school learners. Penna's 2007 dissertation points to the ways museum learning can also expand the curriculum, incorporating more content knowledge into instruction because of an increased access to resources. These studies point to the ways museum learning can expand instruction while also customizing it to increase student engagement. Marcus's 2007 study indicates that teaching students to navigate museums prepares them for lifelong learning, since museums are places they can continue to visit in their adult lives. Museums provide opportunities for hands-on learning that is often absent in traditional classroom settings. Marcus argues that museums can be used in a way similar to primary sources to encourage students to develop skills of critiquing knowledge and the presentation of knowledge, which aligns with most state standards. Another study, this one by Morris in 2008, shows the ways museum learning can build community for students while also extending learning beyond traditional class time. Museums can develop real-world skills for students and also promote civic competencies. Chamie's study complements Morris's by expanding the benefits of museum learning to include a development of a professional network and the opportunity for more meaningful evaluation of student learning. Pumpian, Fisher, and Wachwiak published a book entitled Challenging the Classroom Standard Through Museum-Based Education, School in the Park, which highlights how museums, school, and community partnerships have been shown to improve student test scores, student motivation, and a development of a deeper understanding for the content. While this book explores a very specific and in-depth type of museum learning, it offers a look at key benefits students can gain when museum schools are implemented with fidelity. Yilmaz, Phyllis, and Yilmaz's study corroborates these benefits in a different museum setting. Even though the type of museum learning changes, students still were more excited and motivated to learn and showed an increased interest in and enjoyment of learning. To recap, museums can increase the individualized nature of instruction, promote higher-order thinking, and offer opportunities for hands-on learning. Museums also can provide space to critique knowledge and decisions about knowledge presentation. They increase student engagement, motivation, and interest in the content material. Opportunities for learning real-world skills and competencies also make a strong argument for museum learning. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, those all sound like really great things I want for my students. But I'm very busy and I don't know the first thing about incorporating museum learning into my instruction. If so, you've come to the right place. Throughout this podcast, I hope you'll learn some ways and develop some tools to incorporate meaningful museum learning in your classrooms. If you're ready to take the plunge into museum learning for your students, we can't wait to get started. Let's begin with the basics. The first thing to keep in mind when deciding how to implement museum learning in your classroom is context. There are so many different types of museum learning with different requirements and realities. The kind of museum learning that will work best for you and your students might not work best for the teacher down the hall, and that's okay. There are important things to consider before you decide on the best course of action, including your personal comfort level with museums, the subject area you teach, the age of your students, the funding realities at your school, the physical location of your school, and the accessibility of technology. Throughout the next few episodes, we will be exploring different types of museum learning and the contextual requirements for their success. Keep your school context in mind as you determine which type of museum learning will be best for you to start with. Now to the basics. There are so many types of museum learning that it can be difficult to make sense of them all. For clarity, we're going to group the museum learning experiences into three main categories based on their implementation. Each category has advantages and challenges, so keep your school context in mind to determine which category might be the best fit for you. The first category is in-the-classroom museum learning. This category encompasses the museum learning that can take place almost exclusively in a traditional classroom, or at the sole discretion of the classroom teacher. Some advantages of this category are the limited cost, their teacher-driven and customizable nature, and the ability to proceed with minimal administrative support. Some of the challenges this type of museum learning presents are the increased amount of teacher effort required, the creativity necessary to develop something on your own, and increased difficulty in student buy-in because it can be interpreted as more of the same. The second category is museum-school partnerships. This category includes museum learning that is centered on a continuing partnership with an existing museum, its resources, and museum educators. The benefit of this type of museum learning is the ability for continued learning beyond the school day, the opportunity to develop strong relationships, continuity of learning, and the depth of content provided. Some of the challenges you might face when implementing this category are finding a balance in sharing instruction time with museum educators, transportation logistics, finding the right fit in a partner, and the time commitment in terms of instruction time. The third and final category of museum learning is museum schools. In this category, the school is a museum with exhibits either created or curated by students that anyone in the school can visit. Some benefits related to this category are the student-led nature that allows for increased student involvement and engagement, the opportunity to develop real-world and hands-on skills, the variety of exhibits it can offer, and the accessibility of the exhibit once created, since it's literally a part of the school. The challenges that might arise include the amount of time required, particularly of students during the school day, the space requirements of having a permanent or semi-permanent museum in the school, and developing curricular connections across the grade bands and content areas represented in the school. I hope you're still keeping your school context in mind as you consider the advantages and disadvantages of each category. It's important to think about the assets your school has that will allow you to make the most out of museum learning. If your school is in a rural area, for example, and the nearest museum is over an hour away, you have to be realistic about how much you can rely on them to contribute consistently to your instruction. Some contextual things cannot be changed. Other things can be changed, though, like access to technology or school funding. However, if you have to try to change too many things at once, you are more likely to give up or have half-hearted implementation. Once you choose a method of museum learning, you should try to implement it to the best of your abilities to ensure maximum benefits for students. If, after trying it, you find it wasn't as effective as you had hoped, or that it wasn't a good fit for you, you can either try to tweak it to better align with your goals, or decide to try another method of museum learning. As your context changes, new opportunities for museum learning might arise as well, so it's important to always keep looking to improve your instruction and design. Museum learning can offer students many benefits, but it's important that the teacher develop a program properly that best fits with the needs and reality of their school and students. Museum learning is not one size fits all. I hope that today you feel more confident about the broad brushstrokes of museum learning. In our next episode, we will be getting into the nitty-gritty of in-the-classroom museum learning and examples of how you can incorporate it in your own classroom. See you then. To learn more about the studies mentioned in our episode today, check out the provided reference list.